He Said, She Said, Lecture 6. The Interplay of Power and Connection.
In this lecture, I want to delve a little bit more deeply into what the relationship really is between language and gender. And I want to address the question of how gender patterns dovetail with the dynamics of power and connection. We are often inclined to interpret the ways people speak as either, oh, this is a power play, or she's trying to get close. In fact, the title of one of my books captures this duality. The book is called, I Only Say This Because I Love You. The connection is there in the I love you. The power is there in the implication that I'm about to criticize you. I'm going to start by correcting something that I myself wrote in the book you just didn't understand. I was talking about the example of a woman who's doing troubles talk and a man giving advice, an example that I often use and one that people respond to very strongly. One of the points that I made in discussing that example was to say that if the goal of troubles talk is to create closeness or connection, giving advice does just the opposite because it sets up a hierarchy. The person giving the advice is one up. The person receiving the advice is one down. And I commented that women in general tend to be more comfortable when relationships seem to be equal, and that to the extent that giving advice sets up a hierarchy and is distancing, it's the very opposite of what the woman is trying to achieve by troubles talk, which is closeness. So in those comments, I was assuming what I might describe as a unidimensional continuum. In other words, a single continuum with equality and closeness at one end and hierarchy and distance at the other end. So hierarchy is associated with power and it's associated with distance. Equality is associated with closeness and with solidarity. As my research developed, though, I realized that this unidimensional model was really too simplistic. And the way I illustrate the relationship between language and gender and between power and connection is a grid. I represent the closeness-distance dimension as a horizontal axis and the hierarchy-equality dimension as a vertical axis. So the horizontal axis goes from closeness at one end, let's put it on the left, to distance at the other end, let's put it on the right. And then we also have intersecting that, a vertical axis with hierarchy at the top and equality at the bottom. And I don't mean to devalue it by putting it on the bottom. By conceptualizing these relationships as a grid rather than a single continuum, it's easier for me to emphasize that all of us, in everything we say, are finding the right balance between hierarchy on the one hand and closeness or distance on the other. So anytime we say anything, we have to take into account what's the power relationship between us, is one of us one up, one of us one down, and also how close or distant do we want to be. When I was assuming that hierarchy is distancing and equality is associated with closeness, I think that I was revealing my American roots. It is really quite typical of American culture to assume that equality is associated with closeness and hierarchy with distance. For us, if we think of the grid, we tend to place relationships from the corner of distance and hierarchy, it would be the upper right-hand corner, going to closeness and equality, that would be the lower left-hand corner. So, for example, when we talk about brother relationships, sister relationships, we tend to assume that they're equal. He's like a brother to me. We're just like sisters. That means there are no games between us and we're really on an equal footing. In many cultures of the world, there's an assumption that sibling relationships are fundamentally hierarchical. If you think of China, for example, you don't even address your siblings by name. You call them older sister, second older brother, third oldest sister, because the